I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, Maria Chalaos, along with Ton Bettis on the KSL Greenhouse show this morning. Glad you could go along with us. We wish it was a sunny day. Even if it was a sunny day, here in downtown Salt Lake City, we wouldn't even see the sun right now. It is so foggy. And hopefully that storm that's coming in tomorrow will take care of that for us. Right now, only 29 degrees, Ton. Pretty chilly. We want to talk this morning about poinsettias. Everybody's out buying poinsettias, and we had some fun this morning. We put together a video for you on how to select and how to care for your poinsettias. And you can find that video on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page whenever you'd like to go see that. But let's talk, Ton, for a moment. Let's start out, first of all, and talk about people who want to go out and buy a poinsettia for their home today. What should they look for when they're buying a poinsettia?
You want to look for something that looks healthy and full. And I would recommend getting them sooner than later because the selection quickly diminishes over the next week to 10 days. And so a lot of local growers have them in their greenhouses, whether, you know, Utah County, there's several, you know, all along the Wasatch Front. Olson's a local grower, distributes them to Walmart. So we have a lot of local poinsettias, which is good. When you go in, look for something that looks really healthy. Now, you may consider gently pulling the sleeve down a little bit if you need to look at the branches, but just make sure that nothing's broken, the leaves are in good shape, and then you're not going to be able to get your microscope or magnifying glass out, but make sure that there's not something in there like white flies or you don't see gnats flying around the top or something.
You mentioned something interesting about the flower at the top of the poinsettia plant.
If they are new plants, those flowers should not be open. So when we see a poinsettia, we always call them flowers, but those red things are called bracts, or they're a modified leaf that turns red. And the actual flowers are quite tiny, and they're at the tops of the plants. And as the season progresses through December, eventually those flowers open. And so if you find poinsettias in stores with those flowers open, they're usually a little older. And they still can be healthy, but it means it's probably sat there longer. And so I always look for plants that have closed flower buds.
Right. And when they do bud, they're just red like the other blooms that we see?
The flowers themselves, yellow.
They're yellow.
Yes.
Okay. I have not paid enough attention to poinsettias.
They're very small.
I'm realizing this.
If you look at the flowers under a microscope, they're actually quite pretty, but they're very small. But if you look at the top of the plant, which we don't usually do, you'll see them in there.
Okay. So once we do get the plant home, how do we best take care of it?
Water it once you get it home. A lot of times, especially as they've been shipped, they may have gone for 3 or 4 days without water. if you they're in a store in a really hot location. So you need to check that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when you water, you want to take them out of their sleeve. And so they'll have a little protective cellophane sleeve over the top of them that protects the leaves and protects them from the cold a bit. That needs to come off, but then there will be a decorative sleeve that the pot fits into.
Right, it's those foil sleeves that they sit in. Okay.
What we often do is just water the plant with that foil sleeve, and the foil sleeve is waterproof, and it eventually will rot the roots off.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you buy a plant now, by Christmas, if you just keep filling it up and rotting the roots, all the leaves fall off, and all you end up with are those red bracts at the top and bare stems. And so when you water them, you take the poinsettia out of that decorative wrap on the bottom, and I prefer to run lukewarm water and then just let that water pour gently into the pot. If you can, rotate it. If not, just run slow. And then when I see water coming out of the bottom of the pot, I turn it off and let it sit for about a half hour to drip out. And then you're fine to put it back into that little foil pouch.
Right. I usually do that in my mop sink, let it completely drain,
yes,
and then put it back in the foil. Last week you called those foil sleeves evil, and I kind of took you to task for that.
Yeah, and the reason I call them evil is that if you're not careful, for how pretty they are, they can be poinsettia killers.
Okay, so what about light? What kind of environment do the poinsettias like to be?
Brighter light. You don't want to scorch them with really hot south sun, but off to the side of a south window or west window, and just in a bright room. The brighter the light, within reason, the longer they'll last and the healthier they'll be. And so if you have a basement with very few windows and you put them down there, you'll probably get them through Christmas, but not much longer.
Right. I've already noticed some of our beautiful poinsettias around the radio station are already starting to see leaves drop off. And so you really have to be careful about where you place your plant.
You do. They are very sensitive to hot, dry air from our heat registers in our homes, from the forced air, and they're very sensitive to cold air. And so if you have a poinsettia near a door that you have people coming in and out
of. We love to put them in the entries.
Oh,
we do.
The leaves will start to drop off within a week or two because of that cold, drafty air. For how pretty poinsettias are, they're actually pretty wimpy plants. You know, they're a lot stronger now than they were 30 or 40 years ago, but they are still pretty wimpy, and they do require, you know, that right spot in the home or the building,
mm-hmm,
so that they will last through the season.
All right. And then what are our chances of actually getting the poinsettia to turn red, rebloom in coming years?
It's doable, but it is something that you have to pay attention to. And so if you want to use your poinsettia as a houseplant, just keep it through Christmas and put it in a bright location, a north window, east window, off to the side of a west or south window, rotate it once in a while, and just keep it watered. And what you would do is in June, early July, depending on when you want to, you're going to cut it back and then transplant it into a slightly larger pot.
Okay.
Once you do that, let it regrow, and it'll, after a period of 2 or 3 months, it'll grow into a nice, healthy plant. And sometime in mid to late October, you transfer it to a room that gets dark at night that you don't turn the lights on. Now, if you don't have such a thing, you may need to put it in a closet or a pantry. But if you turn lights on the plant, it's sensitive enough that because it requires about of this dark treatment through October and November, they require anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks of darkness at night with those longer nighttime periods to turn red.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you expose them to light, say you go in somewhere at 2 in the morning and flip the lights on, that oftentimes resets the process. And so you would do this until you start to see the top leaves start to color up and turn the color they're intended, whether it's red or pink or white. And when they start to turn colors, you can put them back where you want them.
Okay. You have to have a lot of patience for this process. That's all.
These are hobbies or puppies. You know, they're not extremely difficult, but you do need to pay attention to detail.
Right. If you're one of those people who you like a challenge, you want to give it a go, it's a thing to do. Otherwise, you know, pretty much we are finding that poinsettias are very reasonable to buy in the store each year.
Yeah, the ones I purchased in our video, I think I stopped by Cook's local greenhouse in Orem. And I think I only paid $6 or $7 each for retail, which is very reasonable. And if you pick them early, pick them up early, a lot of times the ones in the little 6-inch pots are almost as big as the 8-inch pots, which can significantly increase in that just upgrade in price. And so I would get in there soon to get them because they will, the selection diminishes so quickly over the next week to 10 days.
All right. So go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page and you can check out the video that we put up online for you this morning, just to give you some tips and let you see what we're talking about. And you're listening to The Greenhouse Show. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Also, your text questions at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show this morning. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255, and your text questions at 57500. We have a texter from Leightonton. They have a Japanese maple in their front yard, close to the porch on the south side. Still hasn't dropped its leaves, and should they worry?
Yes. Anytime a tree... You know,
what? You said yes?
Anytime a tree doesn't drop leaves in the fall, it's always a worry.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that the leaves were either frozen or you have branch death. Because leaves dropping in the fall is actually a physiological process, and the tree has to initiate leaf drop, and it'll eventually form what's called an abscission layer, and that's after the nutrients are, in essence, sucked out of the leaf that the plant wants, then that leaf drops, and the tree actually just makes it happen. And so if you have leaves that don't fall off of a branch, it means that they either got frozen or the tree died prematurely or the branch did.
Okay, no one wants to hear that they have branch death, Ton, first of all. Second of all, what can they do?
Well, don't tell your neighbors for the shame
death?
Of it. No,
honestly.
No, the Japanese maples is really common. And the maples in general are susceptible to a few diseases, especially one called verticillium, that will cause random branch dieback. It could be that. But we also had 2 events through October and early November to where the trees were still actively growing and they hadn't initiated the process of that leaf drop in the fall, and they got froze. And so it could just be that the branches are still alive, but because we had early hard frost that the leaves froze to the tree. And so if we went out there with a knife and just kind of scrape the bark a little bit to see if there's green tissue underneath.
I'm not going to scrape the bark of my tree?
It's one way to tell if they're alive.
Okay, maybe the very bottom where no one can
see. Yeah. So that's...
Well, at this point, though, would it be just worth... I mean, what would you do?
Be patient. Just let it go.
Don't think it's branch death yet.
There, you will know in May of next year what's happened.
But there's nothing you can do.
No, there's not.
Should you take the leaves off?
You can, as long as you're careful.
Gently.
Yeah. You can just kind of rub your hand along the branch and knock them off.
This person used to love listening to the show. I just want
you
to know.
Lost another listener.
Honestly.
So, but I wish I could just be like happy, oh, the tree's fine, but we've got some problems. Japanese maples are native to a climate similar to Seattle or Portland, Oregon. Japan has a maritime climate, or, you know, especially northern, and is used to cooler temperatures and higher humidity. So that's one strike against growing it here, and it doesn't like the dry sun. And so even in shaded locations, oftentimes the trees will struggle, and they'll grow for 5 or 10 years, and all of a sudden you start to see the branch die back in them. And it's just the nature of growing Japanese maple in Utah. We try to do it because they're so beautiful, but there is a relatively high failure rate compared to most other trees, but we keep doing it because they are so pretty.
Okay, I believe that this one is very protected, though, so have hope. I'm going to be the optimist and say, wait till May, your tree's probably fine, and then worry about branch death.
Well, even with my pessimism or whatever you want to call it, don't turn it into firewood yet.
Yeah, don't touch it yet. Maybe just try to help the leaves off of there a little bit.
Maybe wander around it with some, you know, charkoal or
talk to it.
Show it pictures of threaten it, baby it. No, just be patient and see what happens. Japanese maples are always a little bit fickle, and all you can do is wait and see what happens in the spring.
All right. Bart's on the line, wants to talk about orchids this morning. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, guys. Ton, you're getting better. I've been listening to KSL for 80 years that I can remember, and you are improving, my friend.
Well, I've been saving it because you've got to have a gradual,
that was a compliment.
Slope to go up, Bart, because if you're just, like, awesome, where do you go from awesome, you know?
Well, I don't know, but you're getting better.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I've got many of the houseplants you're talking about, but I have an orchid, and it's bloomed for the past 6 years, and it's coming into bloom right now. But what I need to know is, how do you handle the air roots? Do you cut them back or remove them? I generally only take them out when they are truly dead.
Yeah, if you see them and they're looking a little bit, I don't like touching them until I see that they're struggling a bit, and then I'll get the orchid mix from one of the local garden centers and go ahead and repot them. But those orchids are an area that, you know, I handled them a lot when I worked at the garden center, but it was usually fast in, fast out, and I've never actually grown them in my own home.
Yeah.
And so just from my basic knowledge of them, if they're happy looking, I leave them alone. If they start to struggle, the roots are looking a little sorry, go ahead and remove those and maybe even replace the soil.
Well, I take off when they're really dried up, but this here, it's got nine or ten buds on it, and the blossoms last for 4 months.
Wow. What type is it?
It's just a pink orchid. I don't know the name of it. It's just one I got at Walmart when they get rid of them when they start dying. And I brought one home and salvaged it. I've had it about 7 years.
Awesome.
And it's bloomed for six of them. So.
No, that's all good.
It's doing great. And the blossoms are fantastic.
I have a brother that will do that with plants. It's more outdoor stuff, but he'll go and look for the plants that are looking half dead that often aren't, and he'll talk to him about, say, look, I'll get this off your hands, but his yard's beautiful, and it's stuff that he's worked with and, in essence, I guess, resurrected. It's always fun doing that.
Well, I used to have a greenhouse friend that had a lot of plants, and he would give them I took a lot of petunias, not petunias. Well, anyway, he'd give me some plants. I took them in at the state fair. But he would dump out in the fall and just give us the master gardeners had tons of them. So,
well, Bart, we appreciate your call. We like hearing from you. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Thank you for calling and sharing your gardening secrets with us. And again, you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. We're taking your calls 801-575-8255, where you can text us your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.